Amen. I was standing in front of my mirror before I came out, and the Holy Ghost said, "It's going to be a good one. Look at the divot in that knot." Of course, that is a bold-faced lie. None of that happened, but I was proud of it. You know, I was proud of it. But you know, when we were talking about following the voice of God and trusting Him, you know, in the offering, one thing I did fail to mention is, you know, one of the ways God does move you into more is through seed time and harvest. And, you know, our minds at times aren't as renewed as He is. He is the Word, you know, and generosity. And sometimes I know I've endeavored to give something thinking I'm hanging the moon, you know, and the Holy Ghost will say at times, not all the time, increase that, you know, or He'll give me a specific number. And again, that doesn't always happen. And at times I thought, you must be talking to somebody else because you know what that would seemingly do to my finances. But see, He doesn't see what the here and now is. He sees what He's moving you into. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's just important to hear His voice and to do what He says. Praise God. But are you ready to be blessed tonight? Praise God. Thank you for coming out. It's going to be so, so good tonight. But we'll start and we'll go to Romans 14. We'll see if that's the first place I actually have you to go. Some things I want to say here, it's on my heart, but let's pray, and you just go to Romans 14, and we'll figure out where to go from there. But Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word tonight. Father, I know it's not convenient a lot of times to come out on a Wednesday, especially Wednesday where they're calling for, you know, not the nicest weather, and people maybe worked all day, maybe they have work to still go home to, maybe they have work to go to in the morning. And Father, we never downplay that life's a real thing and that life's a busy thing. But Father, one thing we'll always exalt is your way's best. And putting you as priority is best. And Father, people have done that tonight. Lord, that's not to say that everybody that's not here is not making you a priority. I know things come up. But Father, I do know this as well, that life gets in the way a lot of times and laziness and apathy gets in the way. And Father, I know by my heart and the Holy Ghost that there's people that could be here tonight. But Father, I just chose not to put you first. But Father, people that are here, they did. They put you first, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you that you don't look on those things lightly. You said that you will reward us, Father. You're good to us. You're kind. And there's always payday. And Father, we're going to get something here tonight. And Lord, the possibilities of what it could turn into for the rest of our lives are endless. Lord, we just don't know what revelation we get today, what it can turn into tomorrow, and what we heard today, what it can grow into tomorrow. But Father, we thank you. We're going to walk out of here changed, walk out of here blessed. And Father, I think you're going to fill every single heart that came tonight. You're going to speak specifically to them and give them something, Lord, that can change their circumstance, change their life for the better. And Lord, you only know how to do that. I don't. Father, I know just to hear from you and to say what you want me to say and trust you that it's the right thing and that, Father, it's going to help people. So thank you, Lord. What I'm trying to say is be God here tonight. And we thank you that you will, Father. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time we were here, which wasn't last week, it was the week before, we had a message concerning peace. And, you know, I said that the Lord has laid on my heart that we're going to be doing a series at some point in the near future, I just know it's on the radar, of seeking Him and how to hear from heaven and actually get answers from God. He's the one that's got everything we need. Every decision that we don't know the answer to, every problem that we run into, every mountain that seemingly stands in our way, every bit of opposition, every rut that we've maybe dug and we're spinning our wheels not getting out, He knows how to get us out of that. He knows how to get us past that mountain. He knows how to, those decisions that are, it's not clarity, He knows how to give us the right way to help us, praise God. But we do have a part in learning how to seek Him and learning how to hear from Him. Because He doesn't, wouldn't it be nice if God just, you know, flew an airplane out of heaven and wrote it in the clouds? You know how they do that with the smoke from the engine, you know, they write it? Or if God were to fly a banner by and you just look up in the sky and get your answer. That's not how He does it. We have to learn how to hear from God, learn how to follow Him. And we said that without peace, you know, it says be still and know. Be still and know, or be at peace, be calm and know that I am God, the Word says. And without a stillness or a peace, you know, when we are attempted to be in the most lack of peace or the most turmoil is when things are the hottest, things are the most pressure, things are bearing against us. When the money's not there, when there's rumors, when there's deadlines, when there's sicknesses and things like that, and answers that need to be had are because that's the time we're facing the trials, the tests, and the turmoil. And we need to learn to be in peace, right? He said, I'll prepare a table. He's saying, I'll bless you. I'll give you what you need, even in the presence of your enemies. So you got to learn to flourish with your enemies all around you. And so we saw that a little bit. We saw about the importance of peace, because I don't believe you can hear from God or receive answers from Him in turmoil. I believe your flesh and your mind will be so loud that it'll get in the way of that still small voice in the way that God does give answers. Because God's not writing things on the walls. God's not flying airplanes over. God's not speaking through lightning and goosebumps and tears and earthquakes. That's not how He works. He works by the Holy Ghost. And I'll just be completely honest with you. Many Christians, why? Because I get to deal with many Christians, never go down the road of learning how to hear from Him and then actually disciplining themselves and getting themselves in position to hear from God. Decisions are made based on thoughts. Decisions are made based on pressure. Decisions are made based on money. Decisions are based on convenience and what feels good. That's not how God moves. We see a lot of times in the Word where God told people to do things that did not feel very good, that did not sit very well with their mind. And they did it and went through the Holy Ghost. What God told Elijah was not very thought, was not very good to his mind or very good to his flesh, but God was in it the whole time, wasn't He? When God told Paul to go to Macedonia, he went there and he got beaten. And he'd be tempted to think, this can't be the Lord. God, I followed your voice and this happened. Well, thank God he knew how to follow the Holy Ghost, and great fruit came from that trip to Macedonia. Praise God. And so there are times that we need to learn how to hear from heaven, and we need to be in peace. And we saw the importance of peace, and we saw that lack of peace is dangerous, didn't we? And I'll just go over that for just real quick here. But when I say lack of peace, it usually manifests naturally in certain ways, right? Lack of peace would be anything to do with fear, anything to do with worry, anything to do with stress, anything to do with anxiety. Those would all be traits or characteristics of lack of peace, right? When you have peace, you're not stressed out. When you have peace, you're not anxious. When you have peace, you're not fearful. When you have peace, you're not fretting and worried, praise God. And so they manifest this way, and we saw that these can be dangerous. And we usually attack, you know, if you remember, Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, go in peace to keep your healing, right? Remember in Mark chapter 4, with the disciples on the boat, Jesus said, the lack of peace that you have, which was manifested by fear, which you could also say, I'm sure they were worried, I'm sure they were stressed, and I'm sure they were fretting, and I'm sure they were anxious. That's how lack of peace. He was saying to them, how is it that you have no peace through the manifestation of fear? Where is your faith? And so we saw that faith and fear don't mix. And that's usually the angle that we attack it from, or that we look at it from. And it's an important one. Because Jesus was saying in that, he says, how is it that you have, why are you afraid? Or you could say it this way, why are you in a place of no peace? Because we know their fear also was anxiety and stress and worry, of course. That's how it manifested, but he used the word fear. He says, why are you afraid? Or why are you in a place of no peace? And then he told us something that is such a clue and so key to our lives going forward. He said, how is it that you have no faith? Now, you can't take away faith from a Christian and have them be successful. You take away their faith, you take away their victory. You take away their faith, you take away their ability to please Him. You take away their faith, you take away the ability to, that shield of faith that quenches the darts of the enemy. You take away faith, you take away the opportunity to receive the promises of God. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 tells us that. And so it is a good angle to attack it from. And what Jesus was saying was, when there is a presence of no peace, which is manifested in those words we talked about, stress, anxiety, fear, all those things, he said, when those things are present, fear is not to be, or faith is not to be found. And when the manifestation of fear, anxiety, stress, and worry, something's causing you or pushing on you to enter into those things, that's the very time you need faith. That's the very time you need to be able to stand in the face of fear, in the face of lack, In the face of symptoms that bring about different feelings. In the face of what your checkbook says. That's the very time that you need to stand there and have faith like David did when he faced his giant. The Israelites, they faced the same giant and they fretted, they stressed, they were anxious, they were worried. They had lack of peace, lack of faith, but David was full of peace, full of faith, facing that giant. Praise God. Now, we need to attack it from that angle and look at it. But I want to show you from a different area, emphasizing the problem with lack of peace to get it. Because I want to become so, because it's common to worry. It's natural to worry, right? It's natural to be afraid, right? Because what? Remember when hell on earth showed up in Jairus' life? He said, Jairus, your little daughter is sick to the point of death. He says, Jesus, will you come and heal her? He says, I will. So he's all excited about that. Well, then he runs into the woman with the issue of blood, takes up a little bit of his time. In that time that passed, Jairus' daughter dies. They come from his house. They say, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead. She's gone. What did Jesus know that the natural response would be in a time of a test or trial? The first thing he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. What? He knew naturally. When hell shows up at your door, the natural response is going to be fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. When those things don't drive those problems back, faith does. So fear, worry is a normal reaction, a natural reaction, but we are not natural beings. We don't have to respond naturally. Just like we don't have to give in to our feelings, even though it's natural to feel down. It's natural to feel lonely. It's natural at times to feel a certain way. We don't have to give in to those. We are not natural. We live in the natural, but the real us is supernatural. We need to let the inward man reign supreme over the outward man. But it's so natural to worry. And so I want to get it so ingrained in you that when these tests and trials do come your way and you hear a knock on the door, I mean, you're having a good time behind that door and you hear a knock on the door and you open the door and there's hell with a big old smiley face saying, I'm here. I'm here. I want your first reaction naturally is going to be, oh my gosh, what to do? My first reaction naturally is going to be, what to do now? I'm so afraid. I'm stressed about this. I want this to be so ingrained in you that when those feelings start to come up, you say, oh, I can't even afford to go into those feelings. No, you don't fear. No, you don't worry. No, you don't anxiety. And I believe by going from another angle at this, because I'll tell you what, it's enough just to know that our faith won't work. But going another angle, it will ingrain it into us even more. You know, when there's certain things that I want my own children to stay away from, you know, that are dangerous and things like that, I don't just say to them when he was younger, especially Caleb at first, you know, because he was starting to ride a bike before Abby did. I didn't just say, okay, buddy, our road, you know, it's a 55-mile speed limit. People go fast on that road, and we have a longer driveway, and there's a certain area on the driveway when we're not riding the bikes with him and things. And if we're, now that he's older, he can be out there riding the bike by himself, but he knows there's certain areas in that driveway he cannot go past. Well, I didn't just say to him, now, buddy, don't just ride your bike in the road. I didn't just say that. I sat him down and said, buddy, this is why I don't want you to ride your bike in the road. And I stressed to him the consequences. Not only the consequences of disobeying mom and dad, but the consequences of what could come into his life from disobeying that word. Why? Because I wanted to get it so clear in him that when he even got close to that end line, I can't go past that line. Dad has stressed to me the consequences. Well, God does the same thing to us in the word. Now, I do believe that children ought to just follow their parents. And we ought to just follow God's voice without always getting the consequences of the why. And that comes with maturity. But God does those things in the Word that are important to us, doesn't He? He tells us to walk in love. But He doesn't just say, just walk in love. Now that should be enough. But He goes on to tell us why. He says, if you don't, your faith won't work. What's He saying? Do the right thing, but if you don't, here's why. Praise God. Hallelujah. God does the same thing. What's He tell us with our mind? He says, don't just let every thought come in your head. He doesn't just say, be careful what you think. He tells us why we need to be careful what we think. Because He says, if we don't, take hold of that thought, it's going to turn into a stronghold. He does this with finances, doesn't he? Tells us what to do and doesn't just say, just do this. Tells us what to do, what the consequence will be if we do it and if we don't do it. Praise God. So when it comes to, it's easy just to stand up here and tell you, don't worry. Don't worry. But there's reasons why we shouldn't worry. There's things that we can see, just telling Caleb, now especially when he's, you know, younger, just saying, buddy, don't ride your bike to that certain spot. It has a little bit of an impact because he knows he doesn't want to, you know, if you're a good parent that follows through and disciplines, he knows just by the sheer disobedience to mom and dad, there's going to be consequences and things like that. But if I sit down and say, buddy, this is what can happen, you know, almost putting a fear in him, a reverent fear of not disobeying, right? Not don't want him to be afraid riding his bike, but he should be afraid riding his bike if he crosses daddy's. Not only to be afraid in the sense of repercussions as far as getting in trouble, not anything, you know, bad. I mean, he's not afraid of his parents. That's not what I mean, but not to want to disappoint dad, not to get consequences. We have consequences when our kids miss, but also the consequences of what could happen to him, get hit by a car, you know, whatever it is. And you tell that to him, and so then he gets close to that line, and those things ring. Well, now it's like, I can ingrain this in you, and situation hits, just like Jesus said, I know what you're going to do. You're going to worry. You're going to get into fear. Also, and Jesus was saying, you can't get into fear is why he was saying that to him. He had to shut that down. You'll remember these messages. Oh, I can't do this. Faith will be gone. I can't afford my faith to be gone. And not only will my faith be gone, this will happen as well. And so are we ready to look at it tonight? Praise God. Let's look at some things. Go with me to Romans 14:23. Hallelujah. And he that doubteth is damned if he eats because he eats not of faith. Now, we're not talking about food here tonight or what you eat and don't eat. We're going to talk about the last statement because he says, for whatsoever, so he's not just talking about food here. He says, whatsoever is not of faith is actually what? Sin. Sin. So you know what I want to talk to you about here tonight? The sin of worry. The sin of lack of peace. Because why? Lack of peace, what did Jesus say in Mark 4? He said when there's a presence of a lack of peace, which in that case manifested through fear, we know it also would have had anxiety, stress, worry attached to it. Jesus said when those things are present, faith is not there. He said, how is it you have no faith? So, when he says here, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, we could then say this way. When there's a presence of fear that we give into, a presence of worry, stress, and anxiety, not only is it hindering our faith, we are actually stepping outside the boundaries of God's place and provision for us and stepping into a place of sin. Now, you won't hear that a lot of places. Because, you know, we focus on things, like we all know, do not murder. That's a sin. We know cussing and things we put in our bodies and stealing. Like there's certain things we know that are sins. We don't usually equate stress, worry, and anxiety as a sin. But we should. Because the Word says whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. Woo-hoo! Worry, fear, and anxiety and fretting are not just bad for your faith, you are actually sinning. Why is that a problem? Well, sinning is stepping into the devil's territory. You don't want to be in the devil's territory. I want to quickly show you. Now, I know that in the church world in 2019, preaching on sin is taboo. You don't. We are so sheltered in the family churches because of the word that Brother Hagin taught and things. We don't realize sometimes outside the walls the crazy doctrines that are out there. I'm fortunate enough that I get to talk to other ministers that travel and go into these places and know some of these other people that they get to, they come back and tell me, and it just, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't, you believe it. And sometimes even if you watch it on TV enough, it'd be, that's not the word. That's not the word. Brother Hagin didn't teach that. Hallelujah. And you know, there's this thing called the grace doctrine. And the grace doctrine is real. It's a real thing that tells you that they believe that 1 John 1 and verse 9 that says, written to Christians, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. There are many people in the body of Christ who are good people, have big churches, that have ministries that do not believe that that verse was written to the Christian, because they say you don't have to confess your sins. Your sins were already all taken care of. That no matter what you do, it doesn't matter. And my response to those people would be, if that's the case, and it doesn't matter, well then why in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when the guy was having inappropriate relations with his stepmother, why was Paul saying, deliver him to the Satan for the destruction of the flesh? If all sins were just covered, it was okay. Why was it going to cost him his life? It's a lie from the pit of hell. Sin is not a good thing. Sin is something we should stay away from, praise God. Go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The dangers of sin. Praise God. Now, we do need to balance it with the fact that in sin, Jesus is the answer. Repentance is the answer. He said, I'll forgive you and cleanse you. I'm just to do that. I love you so much. If you just repent, if you just come clean with it, and your heart's in it, I'll forgive you from that thing. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. Amen. Now, so Romans 6:23, the wages of sin. You know what the Message Bible says? Because it says the wages of sin is death. What's that saying? Payday for a lifestyle of sin will be death. Well, what's death? Now, we know death is flatlining and heart stops. But the death it's talking about here can be that. But it can lead to also things dying out and things rotting out and things going south in your life. It does not necessarily, you know, your finances can suffer death. Your peace in your mind can suffer death. The way your children are living and things like that. Things can happen that are not life and peace, but considered death. It can mean flatline. We know that can mean that, but it could just mean death in our life. The presence of what's wrong, we don't want to come in there. But it says the wages of sin is death. The Message Bible says if you keep living a life of sin, you know what your pension will be? Death. Yeah. So the person that says that sin is just covered, you can see why the devil would want to hoodwink people and trick people to thinking you can live however you want. Everything's already been paid for. When this letter that was written to the Romans by Paul said, these were Christians, you sin, the wages of sin is going to be death. Amen. Praise God. The wages of sin is death. Well, the wages, because we've already established, lack of peace is a sin. Right. Worry is a sin. Fear is a sin. Now again, I'm not saying that you won't initially be tempted to participate with that, or that your flesh won't go that direction. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying there aren't situations that are so bad, so big and so scary, that the initial reaction of the flesh, Jesus knew what the initial reaction was, that's why He dealt with it right away. As soon as He heard it, Jesus said, don't do that. Because He knew that's what He would do. Why? Because that's what we do. That's what people do when they get bad reports or hear things. The initial reaction is, it's jarring in the natural, right? It's jarring. But we've established that when we enter or participate with fear, worry, anxiety, we're actually participating or sinning. And you all would say, I wouldn't murder anybody. Why? It's a sin. I wouldn't steal from anybody. Why? It's a sin. I wouldn't walk through the grocery aisles and bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Why? It's wrong. But how easy we walk into worry. How easy we walk into fear. How easy we participate with stress and anxiety. Need to look at these things. Go to John chapter 5 and verse 10. John chapter 5 and verse 10. We are not allowed to worry, people. You know, I love those two areas where Jesus told them, you're wrong for worrying. They were both life and death situations. Right? On the gamut or the scale of things to worry about in life, you could say that life and death would be the extreme. Right? Losing your job falls somewhere on there, but it doesn't fall on death. Right? Getting a sickness in your body that maybe causes you just some pain or some uncomfortableness, that's somewhere on that scale of things and problems, but not death. Death is the highest, the worst thing, right? I mean, that's what, in the natural, what we would say for a problem. And Jesus said in both of those situations, you can't worry, you can't be afraid. That means everything else. What do you think his response to you is, what you're facing here tonight? What's waiting back for you at home at your desk with all those bills and the doctor's report and rumors and different things that are pressing on you? You know what he's saying to you? Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't participate in that. Why? Don't join arms with the devil. It's truth. John chapter 5. What did I say to do? Go to verse 10? Well, let's not go to verse 10. Let's go to verse 14. Because I'm saving you time now. This is the story about where Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda. And remember, there was a man that had an infirmity that was 38 years. And a certain season, the angel would come down, stir up the waters, and whoever got in first would get healed. And remember, he said, "Lord, I don't have anyone to put me in." He couldn't get in there. He had been that way for 38 years. And Jesus ministers to him before the guy even gets in the pool, and the guy receives healing from him. Verse 14, we pick it up. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, you are made whole. Behold, everything's better now." What's the next three words? Sin no more. Well, I guess Jesus is trying to point something out about sin here. Sin no more. Now, he didn't just say, remember, I told you, it's good to just obey your dad and obey your mom. It's good. You know, kids, listen up, children. I'm talking to you, kids. Two of them there. I'm talking to you, kids. Anyone? Bible says obeying your parents is right in the Lord, and it will bring you a blessing of long life, and it'll be well with you. If you want things to go good for you, listen to your mommy and your daddy. Amen, I'm telling you. It's not good to be rebellious. It's not good to not listen. You're disobeying God and opening the door to things that you don't want. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Moms and dads. You have to hold your kids accountable. You have to hold your kids accountable. I know parents that just let their kids... I know parents, Christian parents, that let their kids do anything. Get away with anything. And I see the destruction in their life. And I see the heartache in their life. I see it. It's not just me trying to scare you. It's true. It's our job to train them and to raise them and to teach them right, praise God. And then to expect them to do what's right. And kids, I'm on this tangent tonight, but I am. When you get disciplined for not listening, your parent is not being mean, and your parent is not being unreasonable, and your parent's not being rude and hurtful to you. They are obligated by God to hold you accountable to listen to them. And if they don't do it, praise God, they'll get in trouble with God. Hallelujah. When mom and dad disciplines you, or whoever the caregiver is, that's an act of love. The Bible says that God disciplines and corrects those who he loves. So when mom or dad or whoever the caregiver is disciplines you, it is an act of love. And for you to look at them and say, "You're mean to me, you're unfair to me," you're not talking the way God would talk. That's not God talk. The best thing you could do is to say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I apologize. Forgive me. And God will bless you. You got it? Praise the Lord. Jesus says, sin no more. Now remember, like we said, Caleb, don't ride in the road. I don't just say that and stop it. Say, buddy, don't do it because this, this, and this. Jesus didn't just say, stop sinning. The guy would walk away saying, I wonder why. I wonder why. Well, Jesus tells him why. He says, if you don't stop sinning, a worse thing's going to come on you. Well, I guess sin is a bad thing to be participating in because sin can bring sickness. That's what it says. He said, a worse thing. Well, what was the thing that was in his life already? A sickness. So guess what? Worry. Well, we see it in Mark chapter 5 and verse 34. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. And the Amplified says, and stay continually healed and free from your distressing bodily conditions. He says, you want to keep your healing? That means if you want to keep sickness off you, peace has to be the way you go forward.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Jesus said here, if you sin, you open a door for sickness to come on you. Well, what's sin? It ain't just murdering. It ain't just cussing. It ain't just unforgiveness, it's worry, anxiety, it's fear, and it's stress. But we don't think about that a lot of times. I mean, we'll stay away from these other things. Whoa! What about, we ought to be saying, when the worry comes, whoa! Worry horsey. Whoa! Fear horsey. Isn't that what you say when you try to get a horse to stop? That's what they do in the movies. Whoa! I don't know, I don't ride horses, but that's what they taught me in the movies. So if I get on a horse that takes off, you better believe I'm yelling, whoa, stop, whoa. He said, lest the worst thing come on you. Wow. Look what the message says. A little later, Jesus found the temple and said, you look wonderful. You're well. Don't return to a sinning life or something worse might happen to you. Go to 1 John 5 and verse 18, talking about sin. Why can't I worry? Because your faith will be shut down and you'll go into sin. What's sin do? Opens the door. 1 John 5, verse 18. I mean, maybe you're thinking, I'd rather stay home tonight, Pastor Mike. I ice skated my whole way here. Give me something fluffy. Well, I'll tell you, see, here's the thing, though. If you'll take the hard stuff, life will be fluffy. But if you're only feeding on fluffy, life will be hard. It's true. 1 John 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, guards himself. And the wicked one touches him not. Now listen, I'll bring out in a more modern translation. It'll be easier for you to understand. The NIV says this. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. How many of you know there ought to be a change once you get born again? I told on Sunday, I remember being under the influence of alcohol the first time after I had gotten born again. Something felt different about that day. All the previous years, go to the bars, be in home and behind closed doors, and get under the influence of alcohol, and just kind of go about it and just couldn't wait till the next time. Something, after I became a Christian, participated in that, it felt different. I knew it was not right. I knew I had stepped over and hurt my father and was going a wrong way. I just knew it. Well, why? To be worse than you were when you got born again, something's a matter. Things ought to fall off our lives as we progress in God, not be added in sin. Amen. And it says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe. Now notice this. And the evil one cannot harm them. The wicked one touches them not. You want to get the devil off your back? Stop sinning. That's what it says. It says that the devil can't touch the one that doesn't sin. Well, again, we think a lot of times, I'm not a sinner. I don't do this, and we go down the list of Ten Commandments. Yet you're laying in bed at night stressing over your money. You're sinning. You're worried sick over your kids. But it's normal to worry. Well, it might be normal, but it's not right. You're stressed about that job situation. You're anxious about whatever it is in your life, but I got the Ten Commandments, Pastor Mike. I'm doing good. I know. But we point out tonight, whatsoever's not of faith is a sin. And sin opens the door. And he says here, you don't want it, you want the devil wants to have. Now think about this way. Think about it in terms of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, the wicked one can't touch the one who is begotten of God and keeps himself. So he can't touch him. He has no inroad. Well, think about it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So faith and sin don't even line up. But when you have faith and you're not in sin, which would mean you're not in worry, not in fear, anxiety, stress, and all those things, you have faith. Well, what does the Bible say when you have faith? In Ephesians 6, 16, you quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What's that mean? He can't touch you. It's the same verse. It's the same verse. He just puts it a little different. He says, don't sin there. And in Ephesians 6, 16, he says, keep your faith. Same thing. Because when you don't have faith, you're in sin. When you have faith and are walking by faith and in the Word, and do the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the stress, the things that we're talking about aren't there, and your shield's up. The devil can't get you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, when people say, Pastor, you don't understand my situation, and you know, they highlight how special their circumstance is, that, yeah, that might be good for the person next to me or the person in front of me, but you don't know what I'm going through, and I can't help but worry about this. People have said to me, Pastor, you don't know what... For you to say that is not compassionate, it's foolishness, and it's impossible. Well, the Lord gave me a revelation the other day when I was scrubbing my armpits. I'm just telling you the truth! Sorry for the visual. I'm just telling you. One thing you won't have to worry about is me not being real. I mean, maybe that gets me in trouble sometimes, but I'm just telling you, this is the armpit revelation right here. When people say, I can't stop worrying, I can't help it, they're saying, they don't know they're saying this, but they're saying, I can't stop sinning, and sin has dominion over me. And we know, without even looking in the Word, sin does not have dominion over the Christian. That's a good revelation. I don't care if it came from the armpit. That's good. And I saw that. I said, wow, Lord, that's true. Because, you know, people will say things to you at times like, and they try to back you in a corner like, this with my children, this with my finances, this with the doctor's report. And you're telling me, you know, people get offended and mad at, you know, instead of receiving the Word with meekness, they fight back with it. Listen, when we tell you not to worry, we're not belittling what you're going through. We're offering you better. We're offering you peace in the middle of that hell. Hey, man, nobody's saying what you're going through isn't hard or tough or, you know, has the ability to bring fear. But like I said, Jesus, when someone was told their daughter was dead, he said, don't you be afraid. Now, you could be accused of saying, what do you mean, don't be afraid? Are you nuts? But Jesus wasn't nuts. He knew that was the best route for that person. Amen. And when someone says, I can't help but worry, I can't help but be afraid, it's like saying, I can't help but be in sin. Sin has control over me. Well, 1 John 3 and verse 7, a lot of scripture, right? 1 John 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So the Bible talks about God or Jesus being righteous. What's righteous? The lack of sin. The lack of unrighteousness, right? But verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil. Why? For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Now, the works of the devil are many things, but in context here too, it's talking about sin. Right? It says the devil... he that sins is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. So it gives us a picture of God, righteousness, devil, sin. So we could say it this way. Sin is of the devil. Sin is the devil's territory. Sin is participating under the devil's dominion. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, people in your life that do not know Jesus and act like the devil, they're acting like their nature. You know why a dog barks? Because it's a dog. You know why a non-Christian talks the way they do? Because their daddy's the devil. It's in their nature. And when we sin, we're participating with that. Sin is of the devil. So when you say, I can't help that, you're like, it's like you saying, devil's got me. Worries of him and fears of him and stress of him, and I can't overcome him. And that's just a garbage lie from hell. It goes against everything the Word teaches us. We're almost done. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Now remember, sin is worry and fear, anxiety. Sin is of the devil. This is should also help you to realize, wow, if worry is sin, and stress and fear and anxiety, think about fear. What does it say? God didn't give you that spirit. Well, if God's not giving out the spirit, there's only one other entity that can give out a spirit. It's the devil. And you say, if fear and sin is sin and worry is a sin, anxiety is sin, and I learned that sin is of the devil, I know I have authority over the devil. I know I have authority over the works of the enemy. So when that worry and fear comes up, you can take that same authority that you use in other areas. Oh, no, you don't fear. Oh, no, you don't worry. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in lights, who has delivered. Who has delivered. Past tense, it's already been done. Now you might be participating in the power of darkness. It says you've been delivered from it, but you don't have to participate in it. Why? You've been delivered. Amen. The gentleman that got me born again, Reverend Randy Nalbone, his wife is Brazil, from Brazil. She's actually Japanese, but she was born in Brazil, so she's Brazilian. I know that's a lot to chew on there. I had to figure that one out in the beginning, but it's true. She's Japanese, but she's Brazilian. I don't know how that works, but it does. And she's from Brazil, you know, and that's considered a third world country. Not anywhere near the freedoms. And she would speak on this. Maybe certain areas, maybe, but most of Brazil, third world country, you know, not a good place. Not the freedoms and liberties and the safety and all that we have here. Well, she's got here, got her papers, got out whatever she needed to be. She's allowed to be here. We're not sending her back. She's allowed to be here, you know, legally by the United States of America. But she also can go back to Brazil anytime she wants to visit. Well, how many of you know she has been delivered from the third world into the first world, America? She has the right to be here now. But if she chooses to go back there and live there, that's her choice. But nobody's forcing her to do it. Amen. We've been delivered, and we have our green card. We have our papers all right. We don't need to be deported back into the kingdom of darkness. We're delivered. Amen. From the power of darkness. From the power of it. That means it doesn't have to have power over you anymore. Amen. Praise God. Go to Luke chapter 10. But I can't help worrying. Yes, you can. You better help it. I can't help but be afraid. You must be able to. If Jesus told a guy when the craziest thing would have happened and the worry would have come the most, he told him, don't worry. Must be you can. Luke 10 and verse 19. Behold, Jesus said, I give unto you authority. That word power is the word authority in the Greek. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, you have authority over the enemy. What does that mean? You have authority to anything that is of the enemy. Worry and fear and anxiety and stress and fretting are of the enemy. Guess what? You have authority over those things. Take authority over them. Well, oh, thank you, Jesus, for showing me that. Well, I just waiting for God to swoop in and waiting for God to take this situation away so I won't be afraid. No, he said, I'll feed you and bless you when everything around you is your enemy that would tempt you to get into fear and worry. Lord, I just, you, do something about this fear. Do something about this anxiety. Do something about this whatever lack of peace you're in. It's like the police officer sitting on 86 with his radar gun, and someone goes by at a 65-mile speed limit, and they're going 95 miles an hour. Probably be Graham Alice if it was, but going 95 miles an hour. Sorry, Grahams. Yeah. I don't remember what road it was, but all of a sudden, one day I'm driving, all of a sudden I see someone go zoom, right by me, and it was Graham Alice. I mean... But anyways, the cop, you know, sitting there, goes, Grandma, that's 95 miles an hour, right by. And he says, oh, man, that's dangerous. That's not safe. Hey, boss, someone just drove by me going 95 miles an hour. Will you come do something about that? That police officer, that boss is going to say, what are you calling me for? You have the authority. Turn your lights on, put the pedal to the metal, and go do something about that. Yeah. Lord, just do something about it. Lord, just do something about it. Lord, just do something about this. But I gave you the authority to do something about that fear. But I gave you the authority to do something about that anxiety. That's why I gave it to us. What does Mark 16 say? You cast out devils. You cast them out. Yes. What's Ephesians chapter 1? We're just going quick here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. It says that Jesus has been raised up far above all the devil's stuff. Seated above the devil's stuff. And we look at that as a place of authority, of a place of victory. But then it says that you are his body. And he's placed everything under the feet of Jesus. And you're the body. That means everything of the devil's under your feet. When I hold Abby down and tickle her with my feet and hold her down, what's that? That's me usurping my authority over her, holding her there. She can't get up, right? It's me being in an advantageous position over her. And what does it say in Ephesians 2? It says that Jesus has been raised up, but that we've been raised together with him to sit in heavenly places. Where in heavenly places? Far above all the devil's stuff. An advantageous position of him under our feet. Now again, I've told you, if I let Abby out under my feet, I just sit there like a dummy. I say, beat on me. That little thing can inflict harm. If I let her. The devil can inflict harm if you don't cooperate with God. But when you cooperate with God and do what you're supposed to do, he's under your feet. He can't get up. He can't mess with you, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We cannot worry. We cannot fear. Why? Not only does our faith not work, it is a sin. And sin is a door opener. And Jesus died for our sin. We shouldn't want to sin anyways. But it's a door opener. It hurts our lives. Amen. Amen. Some of you, I'll just say this way. When I say this, I mean general in the body of Christ. I don't just necessarily mean this room. Need to repent for your worry. We haven't thought of it that way. You'd repent from stealing from somebody. You'd repent for being mean to somebody. You'd repent for talking harsh to somebody. Well, we just pointed out anxiety and fear and worry and stress and fretting. Those are sins. We need to repent and get that sin taken care of. And then go forward in a clean slate. Praise God. Let's just worship him. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Lord, worry's not okay. Lack of peace is not okay. We need to do something about it. To use our authority, to grow in you, Father. Lord, we love you. And I just encourage you, if you're in worry right now, if you're in fear right now, repent for that thing. Get it out from under you. Praise God. Lord, we worship and we praise you tonight. We bless your holy name. Cast that care onto him. Cast that fear onto him. Repent for it. Get in back into righteousness. Get back into perfect fellowship with the Father. Cast that thing onto him. He's got the shoulders to bear it. Say, Father, I repent for that worry. I repent for being afraid. I repent for fretting over that situation. Now, Father, I give that to you. I give that to you. I give that to you. Yeah, I don't know why this just come up in my heart, but it did. Those kids in here that I ministered to, if you've been in disobedience, if you've gave mom, dad, or the caregiver, whoever it is, a hard time, you need to repent to God. You need to repent to your parent. Tell them you're sorry. Hallelujah. It'll only do you good. It'll only be a blessing to you. Father, we thank you for our help tonight. Thank you for a Holy Ghost church. where the Spirit of God is able to move, where the Spirit of God is able to flow freely. We thank you. We worship you. We bless you tonight. Now, if I could ask a favor of everybody here, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't know everybody that's listening to this message right now. I don't know everybody personally in this room, and I don't know everybody that's listening online, and I don't know everybody that would be listening in the future. So I want to just give you an opportunity for your whole world to change. Prior to January 10th, 2002, my life was a mess. It was a wreck. It was literal hell on earth. Torment, sickness, disease, heartache, emotional, mental problems, physical problems, financial problems. But on January 10th, 2002, was a brand new day for me and an opportunity for a brand new life. And what happened on that day was I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked God to save me and to forgive me and to become my Father. And He's a good dad. And He's shown me that and been faithful in that role that He is in my life as my Heavenly Father. And I want to give the opportunity for somebody else here tonight to receive Jesus, which what that does is it makes your eternity settled forever. You're going to heaven when you pass away from this life. But the second thing it does is it brings you into a new family with a new dad who's got unlimited resources and unlimited love for you and wants to help you in every area. He's a good father. I'm not anywhere close to being a good and perfect as a dad as he is, and I know how much I love my children and how much I want to bless my kids and how much I want to protect my kids, and he's a way better dad than I am. So if you're here tonight or if you're listening online, I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus. And you say, well, what is this Jesus business? Well, the Bible says he's the way into heaven. Say, I love that. That sounds good, Pastor Mike. I want all those things. Well, you got to go through Jesus. Just like we vacation in a certain place in Florida, there's only one way to get there. You have to take the ferry. You can't get there by private boat. You can't get there by... There's no landing strip for an airplane. You have to take a ferry to get there. So we cooperate with that. And we enjoy the benefits of going over that place. Well, Jesus is the way to heaven. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I don't mean you acknowledge that you know who Jesus is or have heard of Jesus. That doesn't mean you believe in him. The devil has heard of Jesus and knows who Jesus is. But he'll never taste heaven ever again because he'll never receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. For the Bible says, whosoever shall believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I won't ask you to come forward and I won't ask you to stand up or say anything on your own. But if you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you say, Pastor, I need a change. Pastor, I want a new beginning in my life. I'm here to tell you, my life went from hell to heaven real fast. Thank you, Lord, for it. And if you're here tonight, you can say, Pastor, I need him. Again, it's not the fact that you've gone to church before. It's not the fact that you've been a decent person. Those things do not get us into heaven. It's what we do with Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Again, nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive him tonight? Anybody at all before we close? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all before we close want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Just slip your hand up in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Again, we're not embarrassing anybody. Anybody at all want to receive him tonight before we close? Father, I don't see any hands in the building. But Lord, if by chance there's someone in here, or Father, if there's someone listening right now or in the future via the archives that are online that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they accept you as Lord and Savior. It's not about raising your hand. It's not about raising your hand doesn't get you saved. It's about acknowledging him as Lord and accepting him into your heart. And if you're someone that's in this building and you didn't want to raise your hand, but you want to go to heaven and you want to receive Jesus, or if you're listening and of course I couldn't see your hand or be with you right now, all you simply do is cry out to him with a pure heart saying, Lord, I believe. Just declare you believe in him. I believe you died and rose again. You might not understand everything in your head, but in your heart of hearts, you believe that. Cry out to him. I believe that in Jesus' name. And then confess with your mouth, Father, or confess, I ask you to come into my heart. You believe and you receive. Lord, I believe in you, and I ask you to come into my heart. That's confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you'll do that, the Bible says, eternity is yours in heaven. God is now your Father. And your next step is to learn all the things that God has for you so you can cooperate with them. Just like if my kids do things they're supposed to do and things that we give them to do, they get blessed for doing so. Same thing in the Word. God has conditions and things that we can cooperate with Him that will bring about blessing in our lives. And you do that by finding a pastor who teaches His Word. I'll be happy to be that to you. Or someone else that's a Bible-teaching pastor that will preach the Word and watch your life change forever. Let's just stand to our feet and give Him glory before we close tonight. And let's actually put our focus on Him and love Him for a second and just thank Him. Lord, forgive us for our worry. Forgive us for when we've participated with fear and anxiety. Forgive us for those things we're stressed about. You're greater than them all. We give them to you. You can carry them. You're bigger than all of those things. Lord, we love you tonight. And we honor you and we bless you tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Love you and appreciate you. Be safe going home.
Bless the Lord at all times. And His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. It goes on to say, let us magnify the Lord and exalt His name. Together. So let's do that tonight as we continue to worship Him. Let's come together and bless Him.
Yeah. For He is great and mighty. For He is great, greatly to be praised. For He is great. Thank you.
know.